we've placed such a low value and a low priority on truth.
I didn't want to just say something that I heard some dude say. I wanted to be convinced of it.
God doesn't just sweep that stuff under the rug.
God is truth. Christ is truth.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. We're in a studio today, which is pretty awesome, and we're glad you're joining us. This podcast is all about empowering men to become who God created us to be, and I am really happy to be with my brother and my friend and my pastor, Kevin Elke, again. If you haven't heard some of Kevin's previous episodes with us, go back in the archives and check them out. Kevin, I just got to tell you, over the last year of my life, I can't think of another guy who's poured into me, blessed me, encouraged me, loved me, and spoken the truth to me. I love you, man. I really, and I respect you for how you go about doing what you do. And thank you for being on this show, but more importantly, thank you for being there for me and my family and for so many other families in our church and in our community. And that's the reason why I want you on this show several times and probably several more times in the near future. I think you have a lot to say, and the way you say it is really good. So welcome.
Thank you. It's a joy, not to just be on the podcast, but to be in your life and to be in your family's life. Like I've told you guys repeatedly how much of a blessing you guys are to my family, and love the fact that the Lord has kind of woven our lives together for ultimately his glory. But man, it's a joy. And I think what you're doing here with the podcast is very, I mean, it is you extended as far as the way that you pour into guys and want to sharpen other guys. And so keep it up. Like it's having impact. It's having impact on the guys that I know. And I can't help but think, man, there's a ton of other guys out there.
Awesome.
This is impactful, man. The way that you've impacted my life has been amazing. So thank you.
Thanks, man. You know, half of what I do on this show is I just try and steal what you've been preaching on Sundays and try and find ways to say it better, if possible.
I'm sure that I've stole it from somebody else. So that's what we do, right? We're constantly, hopefully, stealing from the Bible.
Yeah. Well, that would be ideal, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And so that's a perfect segue, because today I wanted to talk a little bit about how to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I purposely kept it really broad, because I think we can go 1,000 different directions with this. The reason and the heart behind why I want to talk about how do you tell the truth, how do you speak the truth, is because I think we're living in a day and age where that is a lost art. Truth has become so relative. Truth has become like my truth. I hear people say this. I watch it on YouTube shorts. My truth is this and my truth is that. And you go around the table and you have 20 different truths.
Yep.
Well, how can that be? And what's happened dangerously, what's happened is it's starting to creep into our churches and into our discipleship meetings and into our families.
Yep.
And that's where I'm like, whoa, wait a second. When has this happened before in history? I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
A lot of guys are talking about the Roman Empire lately on their podcasts.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you, how do we define truth in today's culture of relativism?
Yeah. It's a very profound question. Like, how do you define it? Because I think that's what our culture is doing, is we think that we are defining it. We think that we can define it. But what's interesting about truth is that it is self-evident. It is defined itself. It is what is actual, what is true, what is.
Right.
And so when we start having conversations or when we start making statements like my truth or this or that, it then, of course, as if there were other truths, but truth is truth.
Right.
Truth is truth, and it has to come from somebody other than me. When you start defining truth, or when I start defining truth for ourselves, all of a sudden now we don't have a truth. We have something that is very subjective. We have something that is, and then all of a sudden, like lots of things in life start to deteriorate with that,
right,
with that perspective. And so, you know, God is truth. Christ is truth. There is truth that is outside of us that needs to be discovered in the person of Jesus and through the Holy Scriptures. Like that, as a pastor, as a Christian pastor, and as I say this, I don't want this to be okay. Well, because I'm Christian, here's my perspective on truth. Mm. I truly believe that God is the definer of what is. Right. We have a creator. Like even in science and nature, like you have things that are hardwired into nature and into this world. That is it's true.
Right.
It's through the scientific method we have discovered this stuff, and it is and a lot of it, dare I say, most of it is to be reflections of this magnificent creator. Who has encoded himself into mankind, right? Creating us in his image, to bear his image. So yeah. The sense of morality that we have is not just a subjective thing that I've come up with on my own, or that you've come up with, or that governments have come up with. Mm. But it's encoded in us by a creator God who is longing to display himself in his creation.
Yeah.
And so I don't... That whole idea, like how do we define truth? I think that's what the world is trying to do. I think that's what society and culture is trying to do, and we're destroying it.
Yeah,
because we think that we can create it instead of see it out there in what God has done and who God is, revealed in His Word, and then just simply uphold that, hold on to it, embrace it. And right now, I think you see. In culture and society, you see the woes of trying to define it ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's maybe some reason to believe that some people see the truth for what it is and they just don't like it? So let's pick a different truth.
Completely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So there's two genders. Well, I don't like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Well, so, you know, the baby inside that mom that's alive. Well, I don't like that.
Yeah, wow.
I think life starts here.
Like, sure.
So, and we're seeing this stuff. All over. Mm-hmm. And so we can just define another truth if you want to. Are there any other, like, those are some of the big ones. Are there any other cultural examples that come to your mind where they're just glaringly obvious and big?
I mean, everything around sexuality nowadays,
yeah.
I think is, I mean, really where it's coming to, or gender, sexuality, all of that stuff. I think those are some of the glaring examples of us defining things ourselves, finding our own identity, and defining what and who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I think truth overall, particularly from a theological perspective, something I came across from Steve Lawson in the last couple of weeks, him defining, he's a pastor, theologian. You know, truth is that which is consistent with the mind, the will, the character, the glory, and the being of God, right? And I think you see that reflected in creation, in mankind, in beautiful ways. And so it's basically God disclosing himself, him showing, revealing himself to us. Romans 1 talking about how, like, what can be known about God is made clear. It's perceivable. In the things that he's created. And so this truth, like, I don't know, what you touched on is I think us in our attempt to redefine it as a culture, society, world, whatever, is really at the core of it. I think it's rebellion. I think it's, and I've talked about it on Sundays recently, this autonomy, this self-governance that our flesh longs for. Mm-hmm. No one's going to rule over me. There's nothing sovereign over me. I am sovereign over myself. Yet there's this sovereign creator, loving, holy God who has, and I don't even want to say define truth, that he is truth.
He is the truth.
He is truth.
Yeah. That's interesting too, because like, it's very clear that the Bible says the truth will set you free.
Yep.
But I think we're in a culture where it's like, love will set you free, baby. Like, mm-hmm. No, that's like, yeah. we've placed such a low value and a low priority on truth. And I think it's degrading even more lately. I mean, even just in the last half a dozen years, I've seen as a culture. And what I don't like is when the church seems to kind of cave into that a little bit. When you start to, and this is why I love you so much, when you start to see pastors they maybe don't go vocally and verbally with the cultural sway, but they just, well, we won't talk about that.
Yeah.
Not from the pulpit. We're not going to. So much so that I've seen churches skip over parts of, hey, we're going through the book of Romans. Well, you skipped a few verses there. I wonder why.
Yeah.
But they don't say why.
Right.
Or when confronted, they're like, well, we talk about that in counseling and behind closed doors. We just, from the pulpit, we're just going to stay with the gospel. Yeah. Well, the gospel has a lot to say about everything.
Absolutely.
The gospel applies to everything in life. And so my concern was growing and increasing. And that's why, like, you guys, if you have not found a church that knows how to preach the truth with love, let me know. Because Mercy Hill, Bayview and Lake Country has made me fall in love with church again, seeing that you, Tommy, and the other elders are willing to go there. Yeah. And it's not like you're preaching angry against the culture.
No.
You're letting the gospel inform your preaching. You're preaching the whole truth of God's word, and you will touch on certain points when they come up that have to do with the culture.
Yeah.
And call sin for what it is and bring people back to the truth.
Absolutely.
Like a clarion call, come back to the truth. That way the truth leads to life. That way leads to death. And I know it might hurt your feelings, but I love you too much to not say it. That's kind of the vibe I get from you. I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
Like have you had times where you had to speak the truth, even if it was unpopular or uncomfortable? What was that like? Did people come up to you afterward, or did it happen maybe in a counseling session where you had to bring some hard truth to somebody
Absolutely.
And it maybe wasn't received? How do you navigate those? Yeah. And what are you seeing right now are some of the reasons for that?
There's countless times, particularly in my role as pastor and shepherd. And really, like, I really sense the responsibility it is to uphold the Word of God. Mm. And I talk about this all the time on Sundays, and you might be, because of our relationship, you might be sick of hearing it. But I am full, like, I am stewarding something that doesn't belong to me as a pastor. Like, there is a great shepherd, Jesus. I am under him, under his, like, this. The congregation that the Lord has entrusted to me, it is not mine. I am shepherding, I am caring for someone else's bride. Think of it that way, someone else's wife. Mm. If I do not do that within the parameters and the instruction and the fullness of the truth that that groom intended for his bride, cursed be that man. Like, you have to do it in such a way that is with that shepherding heart of the great shepherd.
Yeah.
It has to be done in love. And so it has to be bold often. I have had some conversations and debates where, with people saying, no, you just say it how it is. Like don't. You know, don't be too tender or parse words or anything like that. And to a large degree, I agree. But you still have to come at things, speaking truth, with a tender heart. I guess appropriate for the conversation.
Right.
There are times, and there are people in my life where I know I can go amazingly straight at, and even quite confrontational, even somewhat like frustrated. Speak out of that frustration. And I know that it will land just fine. The shepherding heart in me, the pastoral heart, wants to make sure that whatever I say, now it may not be received. There are some cases where you could say it eight different ways and they won't receive it.
Right.
Right. And I think that's the question you asked. There's absolutely times, one time in particular, had someone come up to me after service, and she was new to the church, and she had two big concerns or two big questions for me, and she was very sweet, and she was a little nervous to even bring it up, and she's like, well, the first one is this: I've heard churches say that Jesus is the only way, like he's the only way to heaven, he's the only way to salvation. I just want to know where you're at with that, and also then my mom is in a gay relationship. Mom's in a relationship with another woman. She's like, you guys seem like you're pretty cool, and like, how would you speak to that? And here's the beauty of my role, mm-hmm. as a pastor, is I can lay it all on the Word of God. Like, where the Scripture speaks, I'm going to speak. Where it's silent, I'm going to be silent. Like, or at least maybe can extrapolate from the nature of God and the narrative of Scripture. Maybe I'll have some ideas, but I'm going to be really gracious with it. But where it's pretty direct, and in both of those areas, I believe the Scriptures speak to it. And that's what I told her. I said, listen, I don't want to give you my opinion. I don't want to give you man's opinion. I want to give you truth. I want to give you God's Word. And I think that Scripture speaks to both of those things. So I was able to speak from John. I was able to speak towards both of those situations and say, listen, this is where the Scriptures would speak. And so this is what we would call people to.
Yeah.
Christ is the only way. And that he does have a design for sexuality, that he does have a design for marriage, one man, one woman, like in the context of a covenant of marriage. I think that the Scriptures speak to those. So that's what we would call people to. Now, she asked, like, well, would my mom be accepted here and welcomed here? I'm like, well, she would be welcomed here. I said, mm-hmm. but just so you know, like, we welcome anyone, but we will speak truth and call people to truth. And so what that means is that we will also call people to repentance. And so,
because the question behind the question isn't, is she welcomed and accepted here?
Totally.
The question behind that question really is, would you affirm
completely
the choice that she's made with her life and give the approval?
Absolutely. But that's just, you know, and that tends to be one of the hot button sins in our culture today.
Yeah.
Is whether, you know, we're in the middle of June right now in Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those type things tend to be, but that's our responsibility with anyone wrestling with sin or struggling with sin. But here's the problem between wrestling and struggling. What people are really looking for is that affirmation of it oftentimes.
Right.
I can't do it. It doesn't matter if it's pride. It doesn't matter if you're sleeping with your girlfriend and it's a heterosexual relationship.
Hey, I lie sometimes. That's cool too, right?
Yeah,
I'm accepted at this church.
Absolutely.
It's such a weird, right. Like, well, yeah, you're accepted.
Yeah.
But lying's wrong. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love you too much to just say, right. Go for it,
right,
whatever.
Right. Yep.
Like, God doesn't just sweep that stuff under the rug.
Yeah.
He has a standard and a call.
Yeah.
And I like the way you're saying it. It's like sometimes the intensity with which they're coming at you is the intensity with which you try to meet them.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this woman was coming to you kind of softly, wondering, curious, like, yeah. Hey. And so you meet her with gentleness and you deliver the truth in that kind of manner. You're not going to like,
totally.
I'm coming at you intensely.
Absolutely.
Repent. That's such a load of
garbage.
But
that's not, and ultimately, how that truth lands on her heart, how it lands in her heart is not up to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's between her and the Holy Spirit and what he's been working and doing in her. And at the end of the conversation, I said, I'm guessing that's not exactly what you were looking for, was it? And she's like, no. But she said, I really like the way that you approached it.
Nice.
And again, I'm not trying to dance around something. I simply want to call people to Scripture,
right?
To truth, to the truth of God.
Yeah, and that should be what every Christian man strives for. Like, some guys listening might be like, "Well, Kevin's a pastor."
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If you're a Christian man, like, you got a family, you're shepherding people too.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian man and you have leadership roles in the workplace or at your kids' extracurriculars, like, you have people that you can be leading, guiding, and pouring into as well.
Yep.
And so this does apply. There are opportunities here. For me, I remember really clearly, it was at another church in town. It was maybe 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. But they invited me to give a sermon, and I was preaching the text. It was Romans 1 and 2, I remember very clearly. And all I said was, like, all of us belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, living sacrifices.
Sure.
Like, and that includes what we do in the bedroom. That includes what we do at work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even say the word sexuality. I didn't say the word gay. I didn't say the word homosexual. I remember two men who came in together standing up and walking out from very near the front. And it was very obvious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not happy with what this guy's saying. Mm. And the elders called me in afterward and told me, I wish you wouldn't have done that.
Hmm.
They were, well, now they have fully moved to a total affirming position. I don't know if they're waving the rainbow flag in front or what, but they've gone that way, and they were very upset with me. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. But I look back now at that moment, I'm really glad that I chose to just be faithful to the text.
Absolutely.
Like, well, what, I ask them, the elders, what exactly is wrong with calling people to submit everything that they are to the Lord? Yeah. Like, he's our king, right? Jesus. And they couldn't give me a good answer. They just, we just want to, there's a lot of people here and we want to be gentle, and they come from all walks of life and want to accept them where they're at. Like, great.
Yeah.
And then you want to call them, like, come as you are, but stay that way? Or is it come as you are and be changed?
It's
more and more into the image of Jesus. What are we going for? Right.
Yeah.
And so I was done going to that church.
So that is, I think that's part of the tug that you see in church, in church culture, in Western church culture in particular, and a lot of churches that have embraced certain ideologies that are anti-Bible, anti-Scripture.
Right.
And it's all under the falsehood, the lie, the opposite of truth. It's all under the lie of loving people well.
Right.
It's not at all. And again, don't be a jerk.
Right, because there's those out there too.
Completely.
We've run into the religious jerks.
Yep.
You and I both have.
Absolutely.
And those
Absolutely.
Guys are jerks.
But I was reflecting on Mark 10 this week when Jesus talks to the rich young man.
Yeah.
And if I could read just this little section of it here, it says, as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? There's the biggest question.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one except God is good alone. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Gives him this rundown here. Do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. And then Jesus looking at him, verse 21, Jesus looking at him, loved him and said, I don't know if I've ever caught that, loved him. Jesus looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing, go and sell all you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, verse 22, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And so, like, what, again, my responsibility as a pastor in preaching and teaching a congregation, but also your responsibility as a dad, as a leader, as someone, like, I have a little, I guess it shouldn't be a different view. But I look at you as a leader in our church and have a responsibility to proclaim truth, to be a part of discipleship, to be a part of developing others in the things of God. But of everybody in our congregation, we all have that role. But you have a context. You have a role. You're a father. You're a husband. And out of love, we confront the idols of our day, the cultural idols of our day. Or the sins of our day. And again, I hate this kind of us over here, the holy huddle over here, and we're throwing stones out there at the world. It really, like, starts within our home kind of thing, and being able to speak truth because we love, out of love. Like, a lot of times when we think that, you know, speaking the truth in love, that it's this softness and there's this gentleness, and scriptures would tell us, like, a gentle word turns away wrath, right? Yeah. Like, deliver it gently. Deliver it in a way that it's going to fall on a heart, and they may or may not receive it, but, like, deliver it in a way that gives it the best shot of being received.
Mm-hmm.
That they can see your humility, that they can see the love of God inside of you, and deliver that truth. But what you do is you deliver truth, and you deliver truth because you love them. To not deliver truth, to not call someone away from their sin, would be the most unloving thing you could do, to let them perpetuate in that, because you don't want to have an awkward conversation. Like this story that you just told about these elders in this church that called you into a meeting after you said something. Like, okay, so then I would just go, okay, so what did I say that was wrong? And did I say it in a wrong way? Did I say it in an unloving way? If those two things are still intact, that I delivered it, that you could see humility in my heart, that you could see that I was doing this out of love, and what I said was absolutely in line with the Word of God, where's the problem? Because otherwise, then we're fearing man.
That's right.
We're fearing the culture. We're not fearing God. And like I look at the book of Acts and the sermon there, we cannot fear man. And that's a thing. I mean, that's a thing for pastors, but it's a thing for us as men who are trying to lead and disciple our homes.
Yeah.
Like, okay, am I going to, I see this in my kid's life. I see that they're dabbling in this. I don't want to be, I don't want to be a jerk, so I'm not going to put the restraints on them online.
Yeah. Or I don't want to be a parent. Watching. I want to be their friend.
I don't want them.
There's a lot of that.
And so, yeah, absolutely. Well, they're going to resent me. They're going to, there's going to be this divide then in our relationship. So we don't actually stand up and help put the safeguards in place that they need as your kid. They need that truth. They need the guideline. They need that parameter.
Right.
And so we don't do it. And then we just sit back and watch them believe lies and drift away from the truth.
Right. Let me just take a quick minute and give a huge shout out to our sponsors. Without them, the show is not possible. We've got 5 sponsors, local businesses in the Milwaukee area that support Forging the Path podcast. And I could not thank you enough. So a huge shout out to Matt Austin, Goosehead Insurance. Over 20 years of experience, Matt specializes in providing comprehensive coverage for your auto, home, and Medicare insurance needs. As an independent agent, he offers a wide variety of policy options, and you need to check him out. It's tailored to fit any unique situation that you might have. His dedicated team will ensure that you have the best protection and at competitive rates. His number is 414-260-2202. Give him a call or a text. Secondly, I want to give a shout out to S2F Installations. For all of you managers, engineers, facilities, maintenance people out there, if you are in need of material handling equipment for your warehouse to better manage your warehouse, call my friend Ray at S2F Installation. He can help guide you in the right direction. Total company designed to serve people. His number is 262-470-6882. Phantom Creek Builders. Thank you, Phantom Creek Builders. If it's time to remodel your kitchen, your bathroom, or your basement, all 3, kitchen, bathroom, basement, if there's a transformation needed in any one of those areas, then you need to check out Phantom Creek Builders. They're based in the area, and they specialize in these things, and my dad is the owner. So show them some love. The best way to reach out to them, just go look them up online, phantomcreekbuilders.com. Another shout out to Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans. My wife and I work with Michael all the time. There's no one better. The Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans always goes above and beyond to take care of every one of their clients. They treat each transaction like it's the largest transaction of your life because that's what every homeowner deserves. So whether you're looking to buy or just maybe refinance, reach out to the Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans. To get the conversation started, you can call or text them at 262-696-9048. And then last, but certainly not least, Zastro Family Real Estate, powered by Realty Executives Integrity. If you're in need of a real estate advisor in Wisconsin, look no further than Zastro Family Real Estate. This is what me and my wife do. It's our day jobs. We love helping, advising, and guiding people through real estate, helping them reach their goals and build wealth in real estate. So call us, text us, or you can look us up online, Zastro Family Real Estate. The number to reach us is 262-725-2855. Also, all of these sponsors are listed on our website, forgingthepath.org. Go check them out. Show them some love. Now back to the show. Man, there's so much I could say. Okay. So you talked about this analogy of we don't want to be the guys over here just throwing stones at the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So what I think some people do is like, yeah, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a religious jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just go join them. So I'm not put down my stones hey, guys, let's just be friends. It's okay. You can believe what you believe. I'll believe.
Yeah.
What I believe, I don't really want to tell you much of what I believe. Let's just be friends. You're cool. I'm cool. I'm like, that's what a lot of churches are doing. That's what a lot of Christians are doing. That's what a lot of Christians are doing in their workplace. That's what I like. It's almost the fear of either being like that religious fundamentalist jerk, or it's just the fear of rejection, the fear of an argument, the fear of a debate, the fear of you might label me as some sort of hypocrite. Fear. Mm-hmm. Oh man, like that is such a reason for a lot of people who otherwise know the truth don't want to speak it, and then start to compromise it. Yeah. And you do that long enough, and pretty soon, you don't even know the truth yourself.
Completely
dangerous. It's a slippery slope there.
Absolutely.
And then, with what you're saying about parents, man, and I'm convicted too of like sometimes I'm a little too passive with like, that's okay. Let the kids just have their screen time. Let the kids, every teenager mouse off once in a while. Let that one slide.
Kids
but
are
maybe
kids.
We need a return to some of the traditional dad. Like, I'm not saying like leave it to Beaver dad, you know, like you just go home and work, come home and your wife does everything and you just, you know, you're cold and distant with your kids. That's not what I'm talking about.
Not at all.
But all I'm saying is like a dad being a dad, like sometimes because I said so is the answer. That's okay. And you don't have to worry about being the kid's friend.
Yeah.
Sometimes, no, put the phone down, look me in the eye and speak respectfully while we have this disagreement.
Yeah.
That's like, I want to encourage any men listening to this podcast, do not give in to the passivity. It's easy. It pulls at me sometimes too. And I need guys like you and others to hold me accountable. I need my wife sometimes to say, hey, step up, babe. I need your voice here.
Yeah.
Parents need to know what truth is.
Yep.
And sometimes to just be parents and stop being your kid's friend. But we see that in the culture. We see just the desire to like, well, I want to be liked so much that I won't speak the truth and I'll avoid possible arguments and disagreements.
Well, so yeah. And I think we have a whole culture right now that is framing things in such a way that traps you. Where if you're not tolerant of whatever it is that's going on, or if you do not agree with it, or you do not come in alignment with it, all of a sudden now you are termed as, you know, a bigoted hate group.
and so
because you're not completely accepting of whatever it is that I want to do, or however I define things, you're intolerant. And it's a bit of a trap where we're going to have to grow some stones. we're gonna have to, you know, like, and not care.
Yeah.
Because truth is truth.
Right.
And there are tons of falsehood out there. Like, but even going back to our families, I think there's a lot of people not walking in their God-given role, with men, because we're on a podcast for men, not stepping into their role as a husband and a father, or even just a leader in their workplace, even if they're not married.
Yeah.
They're not stepping into those roles effectively, probably because they're believing a lie or multiple lies.
Are some of those lies that you've seen?
I think we think too lightly of some of the potential traps and lies that are out there. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not going to talk to my kid about this right now because it's not that big of a deal, whatever. I'm like, there's been moments in my life recently where I've gone, oh, I've let that slide way too long.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, where I'm just like, oh, I should have been on top of that when they were 12 and 11, not when they're 15 and 16.
Yep.
I need to get on top of that. And again, like, you're right. Absolutely, the role of a parent has in it an inherent authority in a kid's life, where a lot of times I said so is enough. But also, like, I've seen in my life a couple of times recently where I've gone, you know what? This is a great opportunity to tell them the why. This is a great opportunity to show them that if we do not attack this right now, if we do not address this right now, it leads to this, it could lead to this, it could lead to this. And it's all of these little lies that they're believing or that I'm believing. So let's lay some truth over it and eradicate that. And so, I mean, there's plenty of moments, and my it's not coming to my brain at the moment, but where we are not we're not stepping into those roles because we are believing lies. We're believing, like, there's something that we're not believing about our role or about our strength. A lot of times, man, what I've run across recently is there are a lot of guys who are in, they are feeling very inadequate. They are low. They're dealing with some pretty low, and I hate saying low self-esteem, but they are, in their mind and in their heart, they are beat up.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're sucking. They know that they're falling short. They know that they're not doing a good job in this area or that area or this area or that area. And it is just this weight on them.
How would you expect a guy like that to boldly speak truth in love, right? Of course.
And so then they wallow in that, and they marinate in that lie, and it keeps them from now stepping forward and moving forward in some of this other. And it ultimately ends up being pride.
Yeah.
It ultimately is an element of pride that is the kind of the opposite of the haughty jerk, the arrogant, you know, jerk. But really, like, it's still so self-centered.
It's still centered on self.
Yep.
That's right.
Me-centered. And what we like to do is then it seems more noble, maybe, because, you know, it's not that haughty, arrogant pride, and it's like, oh, I'm a victim. And I'm, you know, but really what we're doing is we're believing that lie to such a degree that we're not able to come out of that and actually walk in the reality of who God says we are.
And that's not biblical humility.
No, not at all. Absolutely. It is a lie. It's that counterfeit of the enemy of our souls trying to get us to believe something about what humility is, but really it's not humility.
What would you say humility is? What's good, healthy, biblical humility? Because that's important, and guys should have that.
Yeah. It is, I mean, ultimately, it is the confident position at the feet of Jesus kind of thing, as a dearly loved son of God. And so, like, humility is service. It is laying yourself down. It is ultimate love, right? Right. Greater love has no man than this. It lays down his life.
I like that.
And so humility looks like service. It is not counting yourself. It is as supreme or above. It is preferring others. You know, Romans 12:9? That preferring one another above yourself. It is sacrificing. It is laying down. And it is a sober-mindedness that is not woe is me, but it is. So here's the thing I love about humility is that when it is true, what comes out of that is joy, because you are rightly seeing yourself as dearly loved child, not worthy, not good in yourself, not because you've attained something or achieved something, but because you're just loved by him. And in that love and in that security of the relationship that has been brought on by the work of Jesus, there's a confidence there and a joy there that leads to worship, that ends up affecting the way I parent, that ends up affecting the way that I am a husband. I love and I serve in that humility. Because I've been loved and served by God, right? Like, how amazing is that?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that humility piece, I think the enemy likes to counterfeit a lot of things. And we, you know, oh, woe is me, I'm not good, and oh, I suck. Dude, that's not humility.
Right.
It's not humility.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not, humility isn't thinking great of yourself. It's not thinking poorly of yourself. It's like, forget yourself. Look at Jesus.
Thinking less of yourself? Is that
like, yeah, just look at Jesus and be confident in him.
Yeah.
That's where the confidence comes from.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
And again, it's all touching on some of those lies that we believe that keep us from actually speaking truth.
Yeah.
It's hard to speak truth when you're wallowing around in lies.
Yeah.
And so I think if we can believe truth ourselves, again, immerse yourself in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Like, and not just check off your three chapters a day so you can get through it in a year kind of thing. Like, actually sit with the text and pray through it. Like, a lot, like, have a conversation with the one who wrote it. Like, that's the beautiful thing about the scriptures. Like, it's the only book that as you read it, you can have a conversation. Like, I write a book and maybe you and I can sit down and have a conversation about it, but I don't know a lot of authors that I can just sit down with and talk with about that text.
Right.
That spirit book, man.
There's nothing like it.
Nothing like
There's nothing like it. Even Jordan Peterson is.
I mean, yeah, right?
Teaching the Bible on tour. And there's no other book that's like the Bible because it is the inspired word of God. And I think like a lot of what you were saying, I'm trying to simplify it because sometimes us guys, we need like just, that was great, but what were those two or three key takeaways? Give it to me simple. So recovering some of that boldness that you were talking about, we see in the book of Acts. We see these guys willing to speak truth.
Yeah.
Standing in front of powerful authorities with not an ounce of fear.
Yeah.
And in love even, sometimes encouraging them. Paul says, in chains, I wish that all of you would become as I am, a Christian, except for these chains.
Yeah.
Like, he's willing to just lay it all out there. And how do we recover that? Simple steps. There's a humility component in there because so many guys have low self-esteem cloaked in a guise of something like humility, but it's not.
And then you're just projecting. You're projecting strength, but yet you're shattered on the inside.
Right.
And it's all garbage.
There's the word. We need to be in the... Well, let's go back to the low self-esteem. We need a better phrase for that maybe, but the thinking really poorly of yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some listeners can resonate and viewers. What more would you give to people who are just stuck in there? I lived probably a good 3 or 4 years in a place like that after a really difficult exodus from a church I was on staff with.
Yeah.
What do you say to guys in a season like that and in a funk like that?
Yeah. Of course, get in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Like Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need your mind renewed daily. There are so many times, and it doesn't take long, for lies to creep in, both from the culture, but also like this great enemy of our soul constantly whispering lies to us. We need to be washed in the Word daily, renewed, our minds renewed daily. So that's a big one. So if you're not doing that, you have to do that. The other thing I would say is, and this is from you probably, but get around some guys that are admirable, guys that you trust, guys that you think, because I promise you they don't have it all together, but they might be believing a little bit more truth than you at the moment.
Mm.
And so get around those guys and let them speak into your life. Like, that's a thing. Like, when we are in that place personally, a lot of times we isolate, which just leads to more.
For sure.
And so get around some guys that can speak into your life, speak truth over your life, and help you see more clearly. Like, all of it is it's a vision thing.
What do you mean by that?
You're not seeing things clearly. You're not seeing God for who he is, you for who you are, in accordance with God's word. You're not seeing truth accurately, and so you need someone to remind you of that, and to help you see clearly. I think guys having good relationships is very powerful in that, to spur one another on, to sharpen one another. That's that sharpening that happens where, how do we sharpen one another? It's not just giving attaboys.
Right.
You know, and I've talked about this, I don't know if I did on the podcast, but like when we encourage one another.
Yeah.
In the scriptures, overwhelmingly, it's encourage one another in the Lord.
Yeah.
Tell of who he is. Remind me of who God is. Remind me of who the scriptures say that I am in him. Encourage me in that. Put courage inside of me in that. Because if I am encouraged, not just with an attaboy, hey, dude, you're doing well. You're good.
Yeah, like, nice job on the sermon, Kevin. Nice. Thanks for doing that. Good job.
Completely. Like what ultimately that does is leads probably to pride in me. But if I'm reminded of who he is and who I am in him, man, that the courage that puts in me, then now I am starting to walk in step with truth.
Let's go
boldly.
Yeah.
And so that would be a big one, I think, for guys. Like, man, yes, of course, get in the Word. Wash, get washed by Christ in the Word. Have your mind renewed daily, but then also get with some guys that can help do that for you.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those are great. I get really pissed off sometimes when I see what seems to be greater boldness from the world than in the church.
Yeah.
And as you were saying all this and how, like, there's just something in me that I get really excited and passionate about seeing men rise up. Like, yeah, know who you are, know whose you are. Start to believe it. Yeah. Start to proclaim it over your life. Get your eyes off yourself and off your circumstances. Put them on Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, he's good and he's got you. Yeah. And there's infinite strength that comes from that way of living.
Yeah.
And that's when, I forget what proverb it is, but it says the righteous are as bold as lions.
Mm, yeah.
That's why we can look at these fishermen and tax collectors and boneheads who are suddenly standing boldly with their life on the line and saying, no,
they're not.
I won't move.
This they're not any different than you or I.
No.
Or anybody who's watching or listening.
No.
Like, these are very, like we talked about it in the book of Hebrews, right? That hall of faith there.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at the picture of all these people of faith.
Right.
And the brokenness and the adultery and the murder and, like, the sin struggles. But yet, they had faith.
Yeah.
And what that is you believed truth. You believed God.
Yeah.
Like Abraham, he believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. He believed the truth of God.
Yeah.
And for all of us, man, that absolutely, like, all of these heroes of our faith, they were bold as lions.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, another thing that I think will help us recover some of that boldness and the strength that men need to rise up and to speak truth and to live for truth. Well, I guess I'll just tell a little story.
Please.
When I first stepped into ministry, fresh out of Bible school, I walked into Tommy's office. You've had him on your podcast. And I think I was tasked with preaching, probably to the youth group at that point. And I was nervous. I was anxious. You know, it was. And I remember walking into his office, and there was an element of preaching and teaching that I didn't want to just regurgitate something that I heard. I didn't want to just say something that I heard some dude say. I wanted to be convinced of it. I wanted to speak from a place of passion and a place of boldness. Mm-hmm. And I remember standing in his office, like, basically, like, I was talking to him, but it's basically a prayer for me and God. Like, I want to know this. I want to be convinced of truth. God, so wash it over me. I don't want to just speak from a place of, I did some research, and so here's my research.
Yeah.
I want it to ooze from me with boldness. I want it to ooze from me with passion. I truly believe that the Lord has answered that prayer in my life.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that sometimes I say that I am surprised with the boldness in which I say them. But then I go, no, it's because I believe it. It's because I truly have been convinced of it. And this is, I think, part of it. Part of it is because I've been through some stuff.
Yeah.
I've been in some pretty desperate situations. I've been in some pretty hurtful trials, whatever it is. Like, and when I look through the scriptures, man, the perfecting work that trials and hardship and all of that, temptations, has to our faith, to our believing, right? Because what we're talking about is standing in truth. That's faith. That's believing something to such a conviction that I am able to speak it boldly, passionately, and even die for it.
Yeah.
Like, part of the reason why I know that the scriptures are true is you had a bunch of people give their lives for it.
Yeah.
They're not giving their lives for a lie.
Right.
You want to talk about the resurrection? You want to talk about, like, you know, people trying to, yeah, well, did it really happen and whatever? And, like, the fact that a bunch of guys died, they're not going to die for a lie.
All of his closest friends died.
Right. Yeah, because they saw with their own eyes.
Yeah, they were willing to.
They were willing to. And so, like, the Lord, and through persecution, most all of them killed for their faith, tried for their faith, like, but convinced of it. And so I think making that prayer, Lord, like I want to be convinced of this,
mm-hmm.
not just know a truth, but to have it become such a part of me. Unfortunately, or fortunately, like at this point in my life, I don't care. Unfortunately, it's through trial.
Yeah.
It's like, don't be surprised when you're faced with trial. Don't be surprised, because
maybe we should consider it pure joy.
Yeah, right. Maybe the scriptures would say that.
There's a word about that.
Because a lot of times what that does is that is that refining and that perfecting of that belief, of that conviction, of that truth. And then what comes out of that is a boldness
mm-hmm.
that I will die for this. Like, I could die for this. And ultimately here, when you're talking about speaking truth against the lies of the culture, whatever it might be, discipling our kids, shepherding our kids, like the boldness that is necessary and the consequences of that, like they're far too great. We need to muster up some boldness, but I also think, like, man, that can be our prayer. But then I'll say, if you make that bold prayer, don't be surprised though if there's some adversity. And if there's some struggle, some trial. But I'm telling you, man, that will work a deep work of truth in your life if you mm-hmm. continue to cling to the Word of God.
Yeah, because that's how you get to know Him.
Yeah.
And as you get to know Him, that's how you get to know who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you really start to discover, I have a righteousness greater than I could ever achieve on my own that's imputed to me. So the righteous really are as bold as lions.
Yeah.
A lot of guys with that low self-view, they don't really, hey, knee-jerk reaction, who are you? Oh, I'm righteous and redeemed.
Yeah,
like that'll make you bold.
Yeah,
a lot of guys are sitting in that place saying, they define themselves by their struggles or their failures. And what I'm longing to see in a whole generation of men in our church is guys who would really start to believe what Jesus says about Him and about them.
Yeah.
And rise up in that place and where fear just is gone in His presence, because I met a man with scars in his hands, and he conquered death, and he claims me as his own, and he's promised me great things. And so, like, I can go toe-to-toe with any lies of the culture, and I can speak with a tone of love to the people, because I also remember flesh and blood isn't my enemy. Like I can confront anybody and anything, knowing that there's powers and principalities at work behind it. So when I'm really bold and aiming at something, it's aiming at that. It's the real enemy. Completely. The real enemy trying to set people free. And the thing that sets people free is the truth.
Yeah.
But we're afraid to say it way too often right now in our church and in our culture and in our houses. And so everything that you're saying is so vitally important for men, and sometimes men that we've talked to, both of us, they discount it a little bit too much because, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not that influential. And I wanna like grab them by the shoulders and be like, you are influential.
Yeah.
Like, you have a call on your life.
Yeah.
Jesus looked at you and said, you're worth bleeding and dying for. Like, don't you dare say that about yourself.
Yeah.
Like, again, the true humility. Get your eyes off yourself.
Amen.
Like, He's looking at you with eyes of love, saying, I've got a calling for you.
Yeah.
I have people for you to bless and influence. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I want to see more guys like Isaiah. Here am I. Mm-hmm. Send me.
Yep.
I'll go. Open my mouth. Teach me how to speak. I'll give it a shot. I might do it a little bit poorly at first, but that's how you learn. Better than not doing it at all.
Absolutely.
First few times I tried to share the gospel, total disaster, and still sometimes not always so great.
Yeah.
But at least you're making the attempt.
Yeah.
And so, I love it. And I'm asking you, like, practical for kind of like an outro here as we kind of land the plane on this particular conversation. Like, what would you want guys to leave with from this podcast episode, from this particular conversation?
Yeah.
Specifically the men with a low view of themselves who are really just stuck in it.
Yeah. I thought what you just did was a perfect outro. Like, we could leave it at that.
Maybe the guys can edit
it. No, yeah. But I think honestly, I think when you start thinking about the magnitude of it all and the culture and like, okay, so what do I need? Where's my role in all of this? I would say like, do not get too ahead of yourself.
Mm.
You know, I think there's an overwhelmed sense to a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's just too big. And so I would say just start with your home, start with your context, and start with what you know. Like that same conversation that I was describing, like where I walked into Tommy's office and I was like, I don't want to just say something that I heard some guy say. Like, and what he said was just, okay, so then preach what you know. You might not know it all right now, but what is it that you know that you know that you know about God? Because then you can speak from a place of passion. You can speak from a place of boldness. And so I would maybe that would be good advice to our guys. Like, you know, you don't have to worry about all of it. But what's the thing that God is stirring in you right now where you need to stand?
Yeah.
Like, where's that one place that you feel pretty stirred about it where you can get bold about it and stand? Just start there.
Yeah.
Start there. And don't be afraid. Just stop being afraid. Fear, again, I mean, we've talked about this recently. That's like really, fear and lies is the only weapon our enemy has against us. It's amazing how we as dumb humans fall for it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, and so he's your righteousness. He's your shield. He's your great reward. Like, we can stand in him. And so speak boldly. Speak in love. And speak boldly because you love.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because you love your kids, because you love your wife, speak boldly the truth.
Yeah.
And so, I think, I mean, just don't be overwhelmed by it all. But whatever stirring, start with that and just go. Just go.
Yeah. I like what you said about fear and lies really being his only weapon against us. And my wife, sweet Claire, like, just if you know her, you'd have a hard time picturing her say this, but she said to me on numerous occasions when she sees me in a funk, she'll just look at me and in her own like half smile sort of way, what lies are you believing right now?
Uh-huh.
And I hate that question, but she's always right when she asks it. And when I'm really honest, I can probably think of like a half a dozen.
Yeah.
But at least to identify the top two or three, like, and sometimes I need a moment. Because when you're, you know, when you're in that place, sometimes that's, you know, that's her being bold, honestly. Mm-hmm. That's her speaking truth to her husband who kind of needs it right now.
Absolutely.
That place. And, but within an hour, sometimes if I'm not ready to respond right then and there, the Holy Spirit does his thing. And she's probably praying for me too.
Yeah.
Any wives listening, absolutely, please, please pray for us husbands. We need it. And they'll just be exposed.
Yeah.
Be like, oh my goodness, I'm believing a whole host of lies that I didn't even know I was believing, but I actually was agreeing with them totally, heart and soul, passively, unconsciously, subconsciously, whatever. And to identify those, to put those in the crosshairs of truth and just demolish those strongholds, right? That's what we do. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. You can demolish strongholds, arguments, and pretensions that set themselves up against the truth of God.
Yep.
One of the ways you do that is you got to take every thought captive and you got to make it obedient to Christ.
Yep.
So what does that look like?
Right.
There's kind of a truth bomb for me.
Completely.
A couple weeks ago, I read that in one of my prayer times. I was like, oh my gosh. Lord, I'm so convicted right now because I think I have about a million thoughts that I've not been taken captive.
Yep.
Not actively, not assertively, not being the man of God you called me to. I've been way too passive, way too distracted. And so now my prayer has been to incorporate that every morning. Like, hey, God, I'm probably not intentionally, but I'm probably believing some lies right now.
Yep.
Would you illuminate those things in my mind, in my heart? Demolish them. Let's destroy them. Let's blow them up.
Perfect.
And let's bring the truth to those situations. Yeah. It'll change your whole day.
Yeah.
It doesn't always change circumstances.
Sure.
Sometimes prayer does. I want to be really clear about that.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. But sometimes all we need is the mindset shift.
Yeah.
With the truth that comes to that place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh man, like even if this circumstance that frustrates me never changes, now I have a joy and a love and a boldness and a peace and a creativity to navigate this these troubled waters of whatever's going on today, because I know, you know, Jesus is with me in the boat, whatever. And I know you've preached something very similar. You've taught it many times, and just in terms of like every thought, I can't afford, Kevin, to have a thought in my mind that isn't in agreement with God's truth, but every day I do it.
And then how are we going to proclaim truth if that's where we are?
Right.
Right? And so it, absolutely. I mean, take it captive to the truth, obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
And then we are far more likely to walk in truth.
Amen.
Boldly proclaim truth. Absolutely. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Such good stuff. Thank you for modeling that, not just on Sunday mornings, which you do. And like, I love the way that the Holy Spirit uses you to preach and to teach, but you do it in your own humble but powerful way at coffee shops and bonfires, smoking cigars and stuff. Like, I love that about you. Just last week, like, you said some things that still stick with me. One of the most important ones was, like, as we're wrapping up, you're like, feels like a good moment where we should probably seal some of this stuff with a prayer. And all of the rest was like, yeah. Like, you're so right, Pastor Kevin. Yeah. And you don't have to be a pastor to say that.
Totally. Yeah.
You can just be a regular dude working at a regular job and be like, hey, this feels like a good moment where we should pray.
Yeah.
And you did. You sealed it with a prayer, and you reminded me the whole next day to be alert and watchful for moments where I can say something similar. Hey, this feels like a good moment where we should pray real quick. Thank you for all that you model for me. And I just want to, like, I want to pay it forward. And I know other guys in our church want to pay it forward. And like I said to anybody listening or watching, if you're looking for a church that needs, that does boldly proclaim the truth in love, just let me know. I know two places, one in Bayview, one in Lake Country. And I'll unashamedly connect you with some people at those places.
Awesome.
But I love you.
Love you too, brother. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for being on.